You know, when God speaks to me, I get excited about it. You know, you ever had those goosebumps that come over you, you know, when God just kind of like touches you? And you think, man, I love that experience. I do, because I know it's from God. I know He's trying to speak to me, and a lot of times I don't want to listen. A lot of times I don't want to hear Him because I'm too busy with things. But I had this thought this morning, and for whatever reason, you know, you ever get these throwback songs that come into your head that you heard years ago, and it just like gets in your head, and you're like, where did this come from? You know, and I was thinking of that song, you know, Wanted Dead or Alive. Believe it or not. Well, you're wanted dead or alive. I know you guys have heard that song. I like changing the words of those songs. Well, I walk these streets with a Bible in my hand, you know. I do stuff like that, you know. Change the words to, you know, good songs. Make them better, you know. Take that junk out of them. And I was thinking about being dead or alive, and I hope if I asked you that question this morning, what answer I would get from you. Are you dead or are you alive? I think about what God wants from us. He wants you dead or alive. You may think, well, wow, that's... But Paul prays that believers would understand what it means to be in Christ. Not to just be in Christ, but to be alive in Christ. And if you look at the book of Ephesians, if you have your Bibles and you want to go to the second chapter of Ephesians... We'll hear from Paul this morning. He says, As you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Heavenly Father, I thank You again for all Your wonderful blessings. Lord, I thank You for this great group of people that have gathered here this morning to honor and glorify You. So Lord, let Your Holy Spirit teach us this morning. Lord, let us learn from Your Word and leave here better than we came. Lord, I thank You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 And before I forget, it's good to see Mary with us this morning. Glad you're here. And it's good to see Wren here this morning. Yeah. Amen. It's good to see you. You know, what does it mean to be alive in Christ? And if we're not alive in Christ, what are we? What are we? Can you answer that question? What has to take place in our lives to be alive in Christ? Paul prays that believers would understand what it means to be in Christ. And, you know, here in chapter 2, he brings this our attention, and he describes what salvation is. And salvation, to me, well, it's a miracle that brought us into God's master plan. Amen? God brings us to Him. He says there in verse 1 that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, and that we followed the ways of the world, this self-destruction that we put upon ourselves, and we are disobedient to the things of God. But there in verse 4, but because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. We are alive in Him. In a Christian term that we often hear is, He saved us. Right? He saved us. And I ask the question, from what? Do you know what it was that He saved you from? We were dead in our sins, and He saved us from death. He gave His life so that we could be alive. Not by anything that we did, but by what Christ did Himself. Christ made us alive. There in verse 8 it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." It was not for anything that we did. We did not do anything. We did not deserve any of this. But what does it mean for you to be alive in Christ? If we're not alive in Christ, then we are dead. We are dead. What has to take place in our life to be alive? Well, if we look at the past, the present, and the future, who are we with Christ, or without Christ, I mean? Who are we with Christ? Or what is our future when we are in Christ? That's what we're going to look at this morning. So if we look at the past, who are we without Christ? First of all, you were dead. If you're without Christ here this morning, then you're spiritually dead. And that's who you are without Christ. We were dead. If you're saved this morning, you were dead. Amen? Amen. So, it's a past condition if you're saved this morning. It's not something you live in any longer because of what Christ did. People, Ephesians 4:18 tells us to be dead is to be alienated from the life of God. It's a separated. It's not a physical death, but a spiritual death. And you know, we were created in the image of God. I had this thought one here not long ago. In the image of God, to be complete, we were created body, soul, and spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says that we are body, soul, and spirit. And something that hit me one time, when Adam fell, humanity became spiritually dead. And so we weren't complete anymore. We were incomplete. We weren't full. We were two-thirds of a man. And something that really dawned on me one day is that when you look at the numerical terms of two-thirds, it's actually 0.0666. It made me think about that. That without Christ, who are we living for? We are spiritually dead, and then we're living for Satan. Amen? We're living for the devil. We're gratifying that. We're spiritually dead. That hit me one day. I thought, man. So when Paul talks about this spiritual death, an unbeliever is dead to the things of God. He's separated. He's alienated. Physical death is inevitable for all of us. But when the heart stops, your life is over. And if you die spiritually dead, guess what? You're going to stay spiritually dead. And you're going to live eternity separated from God. Alienated from God. And that's by your choice. It's by our choice that we choose not to respond to the things of God. And I have known so many people that have felt the calling of God. They have felt the Holy Spirit speaking to them, and they did not respond to it. They chose to not respond to the Holy Spirit's calling. God's love does not draw you because you are alienated from God. Man is not dead because he commits sins, but because he was born sinful because of the fall of mankind. It's hard for some to understand, but the Greek word for sin is translated, the translation there, it means to miss the target or to miss the mark. That's why Paul used that term, to miss the mark. What God is telling us is we are sinners born into sin, and there's no good person out there. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough. You can't buy enough. You cannot work your way into heaven. You can give all your money away to charities. You can give it to the poor. You can feed everybody that's not going to get you to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. We're all born headed in the wrong direction. We're all sinful, and sin is the failure to hit God's target. We cannot do this by ourselves because God's standards cannot be reached by man's abilities. There's nothing that we can do to reach God aside from what Christ has done for us. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And sin is the failure to glorify God. The Bible says we're all sinners, but that doesn't mean everyone is at the same level of sinfulness. You know, I think this is where we kind of get in trouble sometimes, because we want to say that one guy's sin or one person's sin is greater than ours. And I'm telling you, you know, we could all stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon. You ever imagine doing that? Standing right at the edge of the Grand Canyon looking down? And we could all jump as far as we could jump. Some of us would jump a little farther, but all of us would miss the mark. There's none of us that could jump to the other side. Only Christ, who was willing to make that leap, He was the only one that could. He made that leap, and He made the bridge for us, that narrow bridge, so that we can make it across. He did that for us. Matthew 7:5, Jesus said, "Before you pull the speck out of your neighbor's eye, you better pull the beam out of your own." We have trouble with that, but every person falls short of God's glory, holiness, and perfection. We all do. Let me tell you, I'm there too. I'm just a man, and I fall short sometimes. Sometimes I don't say the right things. Sometimes I don't treat my kids like I should. Sometimes I don't treat my wife like I should, and I admit that. Sometimes I miss the mark. Now, you can fault me for that, but I'm just as human as anybody else. There may be different levels of morality, but every person falls short. That's why I said we could all stand at the edge of the Grand Canyon and jump. Some of us may jump a little farther than the others, but none of us will make it. If you never have accepted Jesus Christ in your life, this is the way you would physically die. You would never respond to the love of God and what Christ did for you. You would never have been alive in Christ because you never allowed Christ to be a part of your life. And I hope that you do that today. I hope that you make Christ a part of your life. I hope that you respond to His calling on your heart. If we look at the present, what does it look like? What does that look like to live in the presence? It says this, "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. You know, if we got what we deserved, we would all be in trouble, wouldn't we? We'd all be there. Salvation is based on love, and that love is God's love. It's not on anything that we did. It's not on anything that anybody else does around us. It's all what God has done for us. God doesn't save us because we're worthy of being saved. He doesn't. It's based on His love and what He did for each of us. But it also is based on our response to Him. Even when we were dead in sins, He hath made us alive together with Christ. I like that. That because it reminds me I'm not alone. He says He hath made us alive together with Christ. You hear what I'm saying? You're not alone. We're in this together. Church, we are a family. We're in this together. If you've been made alive in Christ, we're in this together. A family. We need each other. We need to support each other. We need to pray for each other. We need to love each other like Christ loved us and gave His life so much for us. I appreciate the support that I get from many of you who call me and or text me and message me. I appreciate that. Because there's days when I don't feel like that I'm doing my job. Believe it or not. There's days I feel like, why would God use me for anything at all? Am I alone in that? Have you ever had days like that when you just feel like that it just doesn't seem like God cares at all? When I read through this scripture, it just makes me feel alive. Because I understand that God is there with me all the time. He's with us together. We're all together in this. Does that make sense? When we become a Christian, we cease to be incomplete. We become whole again. We become one with Christ. We become a Christian. And what's that mean to you? What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be with Christ? It means a lot to me when we understand it, right? I search for excitement. I search for passion in people who claim to be alive in Christ. I want to encourage you to understand that Christ did a wonderful thing in your life that we didn't deserve. I don't want to get off in the bushes here. When God raises believers from a spiritually dead place, guess what? He doesn't leave you in the cemetery. Amen? Amen. When He raised Lazarus from the dead, He didn't leave him in the tomb. Amen? Amen. Because we are saved, accepted, we're accepted by God through Jesus Christ. We are, according to Philippians 3:20, citizens now of heaven. That's why I sang that song earlier. I picked that song out. Sing the wondrous joys of Jesus. His mercy and His grace. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Amen? Amen. I mean, that's something to look forward to, but can't we be excited about it now? Can't we enjoy the notion that God loved us so much that He is going to give us all the riches of heaven? I mean, even beyond that, He saved us from death. That's what's most important. The other's just kind of a bonus, right? I'm excited enough that God chose me. He chose me. He chose you. I heard Kevin Donahoe say that yesterday. It was profound to him. He said, God chose me. The promises of God become alive in our hearts, and we strive to please Him instead of ourselves, and we desire to please Him above ourselves. You know, the future is, how should we act and what can we expect? You know, we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's what Paul says there in verse 10. We are His workmanship. The result of salvation is we do what He tells us to do. As it says in the Scripture, don't be just hearers of the Word. Do what the Word says. You know? And be happy doing it. In this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. You know, I like to garden. I do. I like growing stuff. But you know, if I put a tomato plant in the ground and it doesn't produce fruit, if it doesn't grow tomatoes, what good is it? What good is it? We are designed to grow and bear fruit. The Greek word translated for workmanship, when we look at that scripture, is masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He designed us to be in the image of Christ, our good works being an example of our salvation. The things that we do them because we love God. You do things because you love Christ. God sent Jesus to die in the sinner's place, and that He did. He demonstrated His grace and His power and His love for each and every one of us. It's transforming a dead man or woman into a living sacrifice. It edifies us and it glorifies the Father. You know, if you're a Christian here this morning, and this should remind you, as it did me, where you came from. Where you came from. Who you are now in Christ. And there shouldn't be negative pride. There shouldn't be, you know, doom and gloom. It should be excitement and joy. I'm happy to be a Christian. I'm happy to be alive in Christ. I find joy in serving the Lord. Even though it's hard sometimes. Even though I don't understand sometimes. Even when it's messy or messed up. Because let me tell you, the world's messed up. You're going to deal with the world, you're going to deal with messed up stuff. We can look at our country, and it's messed up. There's messed up people in this world. And we're going to deal with those people. But God loves them so much. Just like He loved you and I. And I'm telling you, you know, all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and only because of Christ are we alive in Him, and that's something to be joyous about, to share with everyone. You know, I've heard, many times people talking about how God changed them. But as long as I have breath in me, I can still ask Jesus to continue to change me. And as long as I have breath in me, Jesus wants to continue to transform me into who He wants me to be. He can change a life this morning. And maybe you haven't felt God in your life in a while. And maybe you need to experience Him again. Or maybe you've never experienced Christ in your life and you want to experience Him. You can do that today. You don't have to wait. Christ is alive because of His righteousness, and we are dead because of our sins. Christ is exalted and seated in heaven, and we're here. And Christ has been given the power and authority over all powers and authorities, and we really were subject to those powers. But man's dilemma is this: we don't realize how much we need a Savior. Satan says, live it up. Go do what you want to do. But Jesus says He wants to set us free from that. Paul says in Romans 12:1, he says, I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We love because He first loved us. I don't know what God has spoken to you about lately, but I do know God is speaking to you this morning, and He wants to. I've heard many people say that God has changed me. I'm not the same as I used to be. And I'm telling you, everybody else around you knows that too. God can do great things in your life. I would say to you that believe this morning, it doesn't matter how long you've been saved, but don't forget where you came from. Always remember what God has done for you. Remember what Christ has done for you. And to maybe if you're not a believer this morning, or maybe you're struggling with the thought that maybe you don't even think that there's a God. But I'm going to tell you, God has provided a way for salvation for all of us. And there's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only way. He has built that bridge. I watch videos, shows like The Dangerous Journeys. I don't know, you ever watch Dangerous Journeys? It talks foreign countries, and I've watched them where these guys will be crossing a raging river that's like there's no way that you could cross it, and they'll have these rope stretch from one side of the cliff to the other, and they'll be scurrying across that. It's amazing, you know. And if they fell, there's no way, they die, you know. But I think about that first person that made that journey across there. It seems like it's impossible. How could they ever do that? Rope bridges, and they're driving trucks across them. I've watched that too. But that dangerous journey Jesus made for all of us. He made that journey that none of us could do so that we could all have salvation. That's what Jesus did for all of us. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. And that is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord. Lord, I spoke what You laid on my heart today. Lord, I pray that if anyone here, that they hear Your voice this morning, that they respond and receive You. Lord, we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us of our trespasses, for we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For Thine is the kingdom and the glory forever and ever. Amen.